Well, thank you for the opportunity to come here this morning, and thanks for the reading the brother made on the Corinthian passage. We're going to talk on what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. That song we sang just before the message talks about ambassadors too. We're all familiar with what an ambassador is, maybe in a secular sense or an earthly sense. We have a country here we live in, and they have ambassadors to many different countries. Back in history, back in 1814, William Carey went to India as a missionary, one of the great missionary stories of all time, I think, and his son was with him named Felix. And while he was there, this son resigned from the missionary work to become an ambassador in Calcutta for the King of Burma. Now, we think most parents would be very happy and proud of them, but this man Carey wrote back to his supporters, "Felix has shriveled from a missionary into an ambassador." So we as Christians don't have to make this choice between becoming an ambassador or a missionary. That man chose to be an ambassador to another country, and I think the story I've got here says that he was recalled in shame because he didn't do a good job as an ambassador. But Christians don't have to make that choice because every believer is called to be both a missionary, not necessarily. We don't necessarily have to go to a foreign land. I'm sure here at Hamburg that y'all support missionaries in other lands like we do at Cherry Street, but we're all called to be a missionary wherever we are. It says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, our world may be right here in this neighborhood we live in right here, or you live in, or it might be overseas. Some have gone overseas. We're also called to be an ambassador, one who carries a message. The Lord said, "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Somebody has said that an ambassador is really a politician who did not get elected to office, but was given an office on the condition that he leave the country. Now, we don't want to be that way there. We want to be where we are right here. But in Bible times, it carried the meaning of a personal messenger. A king might send an ambassador or a herald ahead of him to proclaim the message the king is coming in the sense of an earthly king. And I read somewhere back one of the Old Testament books when Pharaoh Necho of Egypt was going through the land of Judah and Israel to fight the Babylonians, he sent a message to King Josiah to tell him that he wasn't coming to bother him, to let him alone. Now, Josiah didn't do that. But the ambassador is under the authority of a ruler or government official. He was not to negotiate a response, but just to declare a message. It's like us. We are to go out and share the Word of God, both physically and vocally and maybe by our actions, but we can't make folks accept the Lord. In Paul's day, he was under Roman rule, and Paul used many military terms or government terms and sports terms even to get his message out. Rome had two kinds of provinces in those days there. They called a senatorial province, which made of people who were very loyal to Rome, very peaceful people, wanted to be like the Romans, fully obeying the law. And the other one was called an imperial province. They're still rebellious and would create problems for Rome. Now, we know that Palestine was one of those there. Philippi was one of the other kind, a senatorial province. But so they had ambassadors sent to these imperial provinces to give the emperor's thoughts, his will for them. So we're ambassadors to the world because the world's at war with God. Jesus has reconciled to God, to the world, but the world doesn't repent. Jesus has made the ultimate sacrifice to redeem mankind, but we don't sometimes accept him there. So he must send ambassadors like us out to bring the message of peace to the world. We want to talk this morning a little bit about what it means to be an ambassador and what they do or do not do. First of all, they must be a citizen of the nation that he or she represents. Now, we wouldn't want anybody who was a citizen of France or Germany or Mexico or like that representing us around the world. We want our own people to do that. So we need to be in a physical sense, we're going to be an ambassador, a government worker here. We need to be of United States citizenship. So it tells us that if you're going to be a citizenship of heaven, which we are a citizen of heaven, according to the Philippian letter. So we want to be leading our country through the Lord. So we are a citizen of this country that we look above to. We know once all of us were once a citizen of Satan's kingdom. We can't go out and share the word of God with somebody unless we realize where we had been in the past. The Colossian letter says that Jesus has delivered us from the power or authority of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. We're told that we have been called out of a darkness that's powered by Satan into the marvelous light of the gospel. Peter tells us that. He says we are a citizen of heaven, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, so on. So once we have been called out of that, we have found our way out of that darkness, we must want to help others find their way out also. We can't just say, well, I found the way, you go find your own. Now, we must find our own individually. We can't find it for others, but we can be an influence somebody to help them find and hear the Word of God. The word translated, I'm told, or delivered means to rescue from danger. And that word translated comes from the Greek word that means to move defeated people from one land to another. Whereas then, back in the Roman times, say you were living in a land that's over here somewhere on the fringe of the empire, Rome, and you're a free country, and Rome decided to come in and take their legions and armies over there to conquer you, and they did conquer you, they brought you out of a free place into bondage. And to us, it's just the opposite. We were in a place of bondage under Satan's domain, and we've been brought into the kingdom of the Lord and into a marvelous life. We've been brought from bondage to freedom. And once we have that freedom in Christ and we have that living in light in Christ, we're to help others try to find that. We sang many songs, I think, about that, about how we are to share the Word of God with others. One song we sang is, "Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you, take it then wherever you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy when his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongues employ. At the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of heaven, King of kings in heaven, we'll crown him when our journey is complete." The chorus says, "Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven." So we have a privilege to take the name of Jesus with us. Again, life thought we're going to say is, "Lord, speak to me." How he speaks to us, and we hear his voice, and then we take what we hear from him through the Word of God to others out there in the community, or any way we can do it. We can do it by on the radio, on TV, some do that. Many do it by the internet now, the new technology. Or we do it word of mouth, or we do it by our example for our co-workers. So we are citizens of heaven, and we are to represent the Heavenly Father as his ambassadors down here. He came down here, Jesus did, to die on the cross. He died on the cross, rose from the dead, gave the Great Commission to 11 people, and he was entrusting those 11 people to get the work done, and they did. That's why we're here this morning. Secondly, ambassadors must be commissioned. We are an ambassador of Christ whether we know it or not, or whether we even agree with the calling. God has given us a ministry of reconciliation, which we had in our reading. He said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." So our chief job in the commission that we have here as Christians is to share the gospel and seek to lead people to faith in Christ Jesus. We are the ones that he sees. The people see down here. They can't see the Lord. Well, we can't see him either physically. We see him spiritually, I think. But we're the only ones that many people will ever see that will tell them about Jesus. Somebody said, well, you're the only Bible somebody will ever read. So we have to make sure that our lives coincide with what we teach and believe. Doesn't mean we're perfect. We sin also, but we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, who will forgive us. I go to the Father to help, and he'll forgive us. So we are to be an ambassador, taking the name of Jesus with us, going out there declaring that God is up there. We had this morning Sunday school that Brother Grimes taught about in Judges, about how people were, for a while they followed God, then they fell away, and then they were in bondage to another country. Finally, they realized how far down they sunk, and they call on God to save them, and he did. It's like a yo-yo the whole book. It kept getting worse and worse, and I think if we were the ones who were running the show, we probably wouldn't be as patient as God is, even then and today also. But God kept bringing this message of peace to the people, and he wanted to be reconciled. All through the Bible, we have the thought of a Redeemer's coming. Mankind doesn't deserve a Redeemer, but he did come. Thirdly, an ambassador will represent his ruler and his people, as we just said there. He represents. So we got to watch how we conduct ourselves. We're representing somebody. It's like, all that may have heard maybe in your life, and I say, well, when you go out somewhere, remember whose family you belong to on an earthly sense here. We don't want to bring any disrespect to our own family or dishonor. How much more should we not want to bring it to God? So the ambassador does not make his own message up. He doesn't go there and freelance. We send ambassadors to foreign lands to represent this government here in the United States, what they stand for. And they go there and do that there. They don't go there and, or they shouldn't go over there and represent themselves. Paul said to the Corinthian church also, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants of Jesus' sake. So we're representing our King, and we must try to do everything we can to make sure our King is pleased with us. And we must behave accordingly. David Livingstone in Scotland in the 19th century had a friend that said this about him. Now, lad, make religion the everyday business of your life, not a thing of fits and starts. Don't just be religious or be a Christian part of the time. Don't be one on Sunday morning, maybe Wednesday night, Sunday night, revival time, vacation Bible school, be one all the time. An ambassador also will have all of his or her needs furnished. I think if they say if you go to Washington, D.C., and you go down Embassy Row, you might see a whole different type. Maybe this embassy here is very elegant mansion. Maybe the one down here is a little better, maybe a little less. Get inside there, how they're furnished. And it tells sometimes by... you judge the nation by what you see in that building there. So we are to bear witness to the glory and strength of the nation that commissioned us. That's the heavenly nation. And we're to know that as the embassies around the world take care of their ambassador, we send an ambassador to, say, England somewhere. They're paying a salary. I'm sure they get a nice home over there, all their needs taken care of. They pay them enough so they can pay all their employees and all kinds of things they'll need. Paul told the Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Book of Genesis says, he himself is our shield and our reward, our protection and provision. So we need to know that if he's going to send us out on his commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel or to be ambassadors, that he'll never send us out anywhere where he won't provide for us. He will equip us. He said that I will go with you. So I'm there all the time. I'm with you all the time. I think David Livingstone again, when the University of Glasgow gave him a doctoral laws degree back in the 1800s, he told the assembly, he quoted the verse, lo, I am with you always, even the end of the world. And he said on these words, I staked everything, and they never failed me. I was never left alone. He was never left alone. He trusted in the one who could take care of him. We know also that an ambassador must keep in touch with headquarters. We wouldn't send anybody to a foreign land to be the ambassador of that country and then maybe not get to hear from them again for 2 or 3 years or whatever, even a few weeks probably, probably daily. I'm sure today and these days they keep in contact daily with the United States government, Secretary of State, or Defense Department, those like that. So the ambassador down here to a foreign land must know what his country stands for, what they are thinking, what the current maybe political scene is in that country, and maybe what is back home, how that will affect the country they live in now. So we, each nation has a general policy that will express their official position. So we have official policy also. God has what is found in the Word of God. What it says there will reveal the character of God. It will reveal His purposes. It reveals that he's getting things done. And as we read the Bible, it says that meditate upon it, we discover God's will and God's strategy for people in the world. We need to know what we're going to do when something happens. Just as the ambassador to another land needs to know what's going to happen if something happens in that land there, it's bad. How are you going to evacuate the people? How are you going to get them out? How are you going to protect the embassy? Things like that. We must know what to do when we have to make decisions ourselves. And we look to the Word of God for that. We see the passage of the Word of God that says we're to go places. We're to be active for the Lord. We're to go into the streets and lanes of the city. Go into the highways and hedges. Go into all the world. Acts 1 and verse 8 told the early church to, or really told the apostles, first of all, to preach the word first at Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. And he do it with them all the time. So we have the go part. Be like you all would start here in this area here. We go out into Clark County, into Indiana, and so on out there. And some have gone all around the world to share the word of God. The ambassador who does not keep in touch with headquarters is jeopardizing his nation. If we had one down here and didn't keep in contact with us, we'd be in trouble. But there's no independent activities that are allowed in that sense there. So we're together in the work of the Lord down here on earth. Now we each have to individually ask the God for what we do, but we're also to be encouragers to each other, to encourage each other, and to keep in touch with each other. We do that by meeting together like here on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, Sunday night. We do it in the homes together, perhaps if you have home Bible studies. We try to be involved in activities that will promote what we stand for in our faith. Also, the ambassador must be ready or prepared to give an account. We have to admit that down here on earth, all ambassadors don't necessarily do a great job. Some may be not doing the job at all, and they must be called back. That's a disgrace sometimes. Even people who are workers for the Lord in ministries fail, who do things that bring reproach upon the name of the Lord. But we must know that we must give an account for what we have done here in this body. We can know right now that we're saved. The Word of God says that. We don't do our good deeds just to get rewards, although we will receive rewards if we are faithful to God. Paul wrote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether they be good or bad." This is a scene that is not to be confused with the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20. This is a judgment here for believers. The one in Revelation is for lost sinners. We don't read about anybody being saved at that. Revelation 20, they're called the Great White Throne. All are lost if that was there. This event here is for believers to give us and determine what rewards we will have. and we will receive reward for what we have done for the Lord. And we'll get them. See, the Lord understands why we're doing these deeds for Him. Now, everybody does deeds for the right reason. We want to do them to glorify God. Sermon on the Mount said, "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works, glorify your heavenly Father." It didn't say here about them, although we ought to vocalize our faith. But it said, "See your good works." So people are looking at us. A lot of people say, "Well, nobody's watching me. I'm just a follower. I'm not a leader." I think we all have somebody who's watching us, whether it's our family or our co-workers or our acquaintances or somebody down the road. You may have heard you're a Christian. You may have said, "Well, won't you come with me to church Sunday?" And they want to make sure that you're living out your faith and not just being pompous or self-righteous. They want to know that you really believe what you say you believe. The thought that we must all stand before the Lord in that time of judgment to receive these works ought to encourage us to be faithful. Like I said earlier, we don't do these works just so I can say, "Well, look, Lord, I did all these good works here. You owe me these crowns." It doesn't owe us anything, like I think in the brother at the table said, "This is a privilege here to meet around this table in sweet communion." Because we can look back and see what it cost Jesus, what it cost the Father. But we have a privilege also today. We cannot work our way to heaven, but we must be the best workers the Lord has. We receive crowns. We talk about the crown of righteousness given to those who are looking for the Lord's coming. A crown of life, a crown for soul winners, a crown incorruptible, a crown of glory given to faithful elders. But these crowns that we receive, we don't keep for ourselves. Back in the Greek times, in the Bible times, the Greek games they had, we call it the Olympics, somebody received a crown, made a crown of a wreath. It didn't last that long, but they treasured that crown, took it home with them, probably. And they could say, "Well, I won that race. I won the relay, or I won the javelin. I won everything." But today, in us, in the future, when we receive these crowns, because of our faithfulness, it says that we will lay them down at Jesus' feet. Ambassadors are going to be called home before war is declared down here. If we have an ambassador or an embassy staff or people in a foreign country and it gets real bad over there, you read about them sending troops over there, maybe Marines might go over there, or they might evacuate them out of a helicopter to the main airport, and then they're taken out of there. Only the essential personnel are still left there. Sometimes even those people come out. So Jesus tells us that He's coming back again. We don't know when He's coming back. A lot of people, if anybody tells you they know when He's coming back, they're not telling you the truth. He could come today, as Brother Dixon said in his call to worship, and we wish He would come today. But we live our lives as if He may not come for a long time. But always be looking and watching. The imminent coming means that He could come at any time. And I think each generation of Christians throughout the ages has had that thought in their minds that He could come now. So if we're ambassadors down here, He has promised to take us out back to heaven someday. We know He's coming back. But as long as we're in the world, God is using us to call sinners to repent, to believe the gospel. We're declaring peace, asking sinners to be reconciled to God. We must be faithful in our thought of being an ambassador. We must be faithful in everything we say and do. I think Paul told Peter told his readers that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. So use that call you have and be grateful for what He has done. We sometimes say when we have our offering meditation that we must have an attitude of gratitude. The Lord never tells me to try to pay him back. We never could do that. We could put $1 million in that plate there, it wouldn't pay him back. Somebody back in the time of Jesus put, we call it two mites. Might be, say, 2 pennies a day. And the Lord said that they were very faithful. They were right in doing that. The Lord wants humbleness in our hearts. He wants us to be willing to do whatever he has for us. Like it said, here am I, O Lord, send me. A lot of times today we might say, here am I, Lord, send him. Or let George do it. Anybody hear his name, George? I didn't mean to say that. But we want to do it ourselves. We're involved. The Lord uses us. A little story I'll tell you, I'll close here. It says that Hudson Taylor, a missionary back in the 1800s, went to the land where he was at, I think over in the Far East, and to China. And a Chinese Christian, who he converted, I guess, came to him and said, how long have you had the glad tidings in England? So embarrassed, Taylor told him that England had known the gospel for several hundred years. What? Explained the man. Several hundreds of years? Is it possible that you have known about Jesus so long and only now have come to tell us? My father sought the truth for more than 20 years and died without finding it. Well, why did you not come sooner? The song we're going to sing here in a moment will be, Lord, speak to me. We have, as I close here, we have a great responsibility to hear what God has to say and then to share it with others. Use me, O God, in thy great harvest field, which stretches far and wide like a wide sea. The gathers are few, I hear the precious yield, will suffer loss, O find a place for me. The Lord talks to us, he speaks to us today. He desires more workers in his field. He desires us to be more faithful, but he desires to have more workers, and we get out and help others find the gospel, but they must accept the Lord themselves. The Bible tells us that we must be faithful in sharing the good news, sharing the gospel, telling folks the need to believe in a personal Savior, to have faith in God, that Jesus, who he said he was, and build upon that faith by realizing that the lost are lost. They need a Savior. They need to repent of their sin. They need to confess the Lord before men. It tells us to be baptized into Christ. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive salvation. And we receive that. And the Lord offers that to those this morning who are lost. But he also tells us who are saved, I'm there for you also. I'm there to meet your needs all the time. That I will be there for you. It says, lo, I am with you always. He'll meet the needs of all of us this morning. He says, I'll be there for you. I won't forsake you. I won't leave you behind. I won't send you forward and me stand back behind you. I'll be with you. So we're going to sing this song, Lord, Speak to Me. If you have any need, would you come forward, please?